All right, Shell. Good morning. I will officially call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, August 13th, 2013, and ask if everyone in the audience would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is a comment period for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anyone wishing to address the board? Hi, Arden. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes, and this is for the August 6th meeting.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion from Clinton and a second from Toot. Comments or corrections? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Next item is consideration of personnel actions. You have all listed.
Move approval.
Second.
A motion and a second. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consideration of claims.
I would move approval. Look good.
Second.
I liked the claims this week. Let's keep them about there.
I had a question about mine, but they told me that I was the one made the mistake.
I appreciate that you were digging into everything. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims pass. Consent agenda, please add road closure 1403, 1404, and utility permit 1404.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items. Additional items. Open bids for the Dakins Lake expansion project. It feels like we keep dealing with this, Mike. Let's get to the end.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right. You should have a blank bid tab sure. Sheet.
Mike, tell us who's joining you.
With me again is Matt Castor.
I'm Matt.
He's our engineer with Shive Hattery. And I guess before we start opening, just as a brief recap, I know you're all familiar with the process that's got us this far, but you know we bid out the whole project previously, and all the bids came in over the available funding. And so then we went back to the drawing board and decided really the best way, most effective way to be cost efficient with county funding was to move forward with a phased project. So you all authorized us to go to bid for phase one. And phase one includes all of the earthwork, construction of the new lake, construction of the wetlands, and all of the rough grading throughout the site. So so I know we have several contractors here today that submitted bids, and want to appreciate them going through the work and putting their bids together. So thank you, everyone.
And before we open the bids, and if this is inappropriate, Mike, just tell me it's inappropriate, but last time I was in suspense because I couldn't remember and I didn't have in front of me kind of what our cost estimate was. On this phase one, do we have a cost estimate that we're looking at as we start this?
We do. I referenced the cost estimate when the board authorized
us to go
out to bid.
Yep.
So we will open the bids in the order they were received. You should all have a bid tab in front of you. I think we received bids from...
The one on the back was first.
Okay. I think we received bids from everyone except for Tom Keeter Construction, the company at the bottom of the bid tab.
All
So the first bid is from Mackinich Corporation. There were no addendum issued in this bid package, so I will acknowledge the bid security has been included, and then Mike will read off the bid price. Mackinich has included the bid bond in the amount of 5% of the bid.
And the bid amount for Mackinich is $978,890. Again,
The next bid received was from Peterson Contractors Incorporated. They have included the bid bond for 5% of the bid.
Bid amount for Peterson Contractors is $1,776,308.25. Again, that's $1,776,308.25.
The next bid received was from Smith Seating. The bid bond was provided in the amount of 5%.
And the bid amount for Smith Seating is $1,253,000 even. So again, 1,253,000.00.
The next bid received was from Keller Excavating. The bid bond was provided in the amount of 5% of the bid.
The bid amount for Keller Excavating is $1,193,953.00. So 1,193,953.00.
The next bid was provided by C.J. Moyna and Sons. The bid bond was provided in an amount of 5%.
The bid amount for C.J. Moyna is $1,019,000 even, so 1,019,000 and no cents. That's all the bids we've received.
Okay, next steps.
We will review bids. The Conservation Board then will meet next Monday, and then we'll be back in front of this body to consider award of bids next Tuesday.
We won't meet next Tuesday.
We won't meet next Tuesday, so we would have to have a special meeting of some sort, but next week would not be necessarily a good week. So if we meet next Monday with the Conservation Board, it would be more of a question, what is the timetable that we would have to have in order to approve this to get things really rolling yet this fall, from your perspective?
If it's at all possible with you to, well, we'll have to, we will need to, we'll need to look at timelines now and public hearing notices, frankly. We noticed next Tuesday as a public hearing to award.
Was that the original schedule, is that we would have to have a public hearing to actually award? Is that your understanding? Okay. Yeah, and so then we have the posting, the notification, and all that. Okay.
So if you get the notice to the paper by Thursday, they can publish next Thursday to have a public hearing on the 27th. And I think that would meet your qualifications.
We'll have to regroup on the timeline here and look for the fastest way we can foreseeably get it done.
Okay. Because I said the only other issue would be if it, but we still wouldn't be able to get the timing in and have the public hearing in time, even if we had one of us available and we set up a conference call to do that, we still wouldn't be able to have the qualification for the public hearing, in my opinion. Right. Normally, we've done that only on special election situations, so I would think that if you could, if the 27th would work out, that would probably be best to make sure everything was done.
I will follow up with the board on that.
And get us all a shovel. Get us all a shovel because we're ready to get going. We hate that it's working out where we just happen to not have a meeting next Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
All right.
Next item is consideration of invoice for dues for the Iowa Drainage District Association. Interesting business model. Every year we're not members of the Iowa Drainage District Association. Wayne, I think you looked into it for us a year or two ago. But we just happened to get these invoices saying that we owe them $3,750, and this is the second notice. And so I wanted to have it on our agenda so we could talk about it again.
Well, we had the individual from the Drainage District Association here a year ago and made their pitch. And I know in conversations that I've had with Representative Dio that I don't necessarily think the direction that this board would like to see the drainage laws goes lines up with the direction that the Drainage Association thinks that they need to go. So, and I had a meeting with some Farm Bureau members last week, and at least the Story County Farm Bureau has made it one of their priorities to look into the drainage laws, and they met with an individual last week in Ankeny, and the information they were given is that supposedly from these individuals there was several different ways we could have approached the job that we did in Milford Township, and the reason the laws are written the way they are it's to afford local boards flexibility, and they're purposely vague, and so I'm thinking you have to refer back to your county attorney at that point for their interpretation, and we've done that, and I think for me, I don't know why we would spend the. I mean, there's two different items on there. There's the dues itself, and then there's, I think the other part is for, I don't know, protection against a lawsuit or something, is what the additional money is for. So, I don't know why we would spend the money to join an association that is their philosophy is contrary to what ours is.
So. I say I'm in 100% agreement to that. I mean, for me, as I remember the Drainage District Association coming before us a year ago, their stance is we've got 100 years of case law supporting where drainage district law is, so it's not relevant whether it makes any sense or it's applicable today. We want to stand behind this 100 years of law, and I feel entirely different than that. I think that things have changed in the last 100 years, and it's time to take a hard look at what drainage district law is and how assessments are split. And so for me to vote to join an association that's going to work against that view would be a hard sell.
I would agree with that contention. So
as I understand it right now, Paul, we're not members of the Iowa Drainage District Association. They send us this invoice, but I can't see where we are actually part of this. I don't think it takes any action for us to remain not a member of the Iowa Drainage District Association. I think this is for discussion, and if we wanted to join, we could sure do that.
No, I think the only thing that we could do is, since we've received the invoice, is we could authorize the chair just to send a notice to them that at this time we have not, we're not a member, and we're not contemplating doing so at this time, and just leave it at that.
I'm good with that. I think
that way they would have the notification that it is not our intent. We're not members, and that it is not our intent right now to consider this.
All right.
I'm good with that.
All right. It's handled.
Okay.
Moving on to the next item, consideration of the Story County wireless policy. Yay! Wireless policy, 7-day review. Been a long time getting here.
I was just going to say that.
This and Dakin's Lake.
Yes. Kind of ironic it fell on the same day, huh? And have you had a chance to look at the proposed policy?
I have.
By all means.
And Jessica reviewed it for us and added one bullet point at the end that the user should not do anything illegal. Most of what this policy addresses are common sense items. When you're using a public network, you don't do anything immoral, illegal, hog the bandwidth, et cetera. So we feel that this covers pretty much all the trouble people can get into on our network. As you know, there are going to be two wireless networks, one internal. This is the public-facing external guest network. The internal network will follow our usual network protocols and policies that are already in place.
We had talked yesterday that you'll actually have it screwed down tight enough that you won't be able to get it outside the building, so somebody can't sit in the parking lot. You said maybe if somebody leans up against the building outside, they might be able to access.
And we don't want to encourage that, but the network scope will go within the boundaries, the perimeters of the building.
It'll be turned on in the morning and turned off at the end of the business day.
I would consider this network kind of a living network. We may need to make changes along the way. We may feel there's abuse after a certain hour. We may feel there's things we need to block. But it is our intent to have it open during business hours here.
The question I would have with that in mind is occasionally we have an evening meeting schedule.
Sure.
Would we send notification to your department so that the hours could be extended on those particular days?
Yes. If an email is sent to our help desk, we can create a ticket and make sure that there's documentation that we don't forget, and we could extend the hours during that time.
Yeah, we just need to build that in as part of when we have an evening meeting. Right. We notify facilities to keep the doors open.
Sure.
Just need to make sure that IT is now included in that so we can keep that up and running. My question is simply, we've got a 7-day review policy. I don't see anything in that 7-day review policy that indicates we could not approve this and go ahead and activate it 4 minutes from now when you walk out of here. And then if we need to make changes in 7 days, I just want to make sure that you guys see that the same way.
I did. And I guess I would have to refer to Civil Attorney Jessica Reynolds on this. I realize that this is our overall, when we've had policies, but I see this one a little bit different. The notification here is just to basically alert them that we have taken action to put this in place, and that these guidelines right now are subject not to change. They have been reviewed by legal counsel. They have been approved by us. We're not soliciting comments to amend these in any way. This is the policy that we're going to accept, established by legal counsel and the board. So I see it just the 7-day is just notification. Now, unless I'm wrong,
I think you're right, but
that
I would
we're
say
change this.
I'd refer back to Barb, and I think Barb said just a minute ago, this is going to be kind of a living, breathing kind of policy. And so I think that if we act to approve this, then this is our policy starting immediately. And if we get a comment or two within the 7 days or even beyond the 7 days, then IT is going to take that under consideration and bring it back to us. It just means that for sure, first of all, it's not 7 days, it's 14 days because we don't meet on the 20th. This, as I see it, would just allow us to go ahead and enact this policy, use our 7-day review policy as a way to notify everybody, hey, this is what it is. If you have comments, come on. But we're turning it on right now.
This will give us 14 days to see how much trouble people can get in with it.
Right.
Yeah.
To see how much fun we can have. One word of caution, too. The guest network won't have as much bandwidth as our internal network obviously, because it won't be for work purposes per se. So, you know, users are going to see some slowness, as much comments and questions as we had. I know it's going to be very popular and everybody's going to be jumping on, so it will be slow. And we may bump that up if we need to. I would prefer not to, because this is, you know, a courtesy. We do have our internal network. So just kind of an FYI.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
No, I would be comfortable with that.
Further discussion.
I would move approval of the wireless policy.
Second.
Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It's approved.
Wonderful.
Flip the switch.
Thank you.
Thanks. No agency reports today. Departmental reports. Guy who is jumping around a little right now. Conservation Director Mike Cox. Mike, sorry to rain on the parade, man.
Oh, no, that's all right. We'll figure something out here. we'll follow up with you on that. Well, let's see. We've had a few things going on this summer. I'm going to start with talking a little bit about our administration, our administrative function. First of all, if you may recall that you know, we've talked about over the last several years need to do HVAC work at the Conservation Center. And we did have an energy audit this spring, and we did end up replacing two of our original furnaces and air conditioners in the Conservation Center. We have three HVAC units in the building, so we replaced two of those three. We ended up replacing with a high-efficiency furnace, which is about 97% efficient furnace, and two of those, and replaced the two air conditioners with heat pumps. And so those heat pumps get us about 250% efficiency. And so no more air conditioners, but heat pumps, and we've had those in for part of the summer here, and it's working well. We will get a reduced electric rate with those heat pumps, and we're in the process of getting some of subtracting meters installed that'll go on those heat pump lines. So that will be a very nice change. As you're well aware, with all the rain we had in the spring, it took us quite a while to get parks up and going and then assess damage. And so you are also aware that we are in the process of working with FEMA on public assistance for some of our losses. I had a kickoff meeting with the FEMA folks and Iowa Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security folks last week, and so we're getting going on finalizing our quantifying our losses, if you will. We did some preliminary work earlier, and now we're going back and fine-tuning that. I can tell you that the losses that Conservation Board sustained in this year's flood event will be greater than what we sustained in the 2010 flood event. Mm. So expect to hear more on that as we move forward with that. We did do a few presentations out and about in the community over the summer. Ames League of, or I should say, the League of Women Voters, one of the Lions Clubs, and Boy Scout Council. All of those we reached out to and provided an overview of Story County Conservation. So that went well, and the Boy Scouts then had a follow-up meeting meeting with us to really kind of hone in on how we can get a stronger partnership and provide more opportunities for the Scouts, and then vice versa, have some scouting service opportunities for us. So that went very well. And then
We've chatted about a brochure for a while. We budgeted for it over the last year, and I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but here's the new brochures.
Outstanding.
Great, great. Cool. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
And there are extras down in the foyer as well. But if you look at this, it's a fold-out that on one side talks about essentially some of the, just in general terms, some of the different outdoor recreation offerings that we have in the county. And then on the flip side, on the inside of it, is a map of map of the county with locations, and then a chart that talks about each specific park and the amenities at it. So it's a beautiful brochure. Happy to get this done. A note that all of the photographs in here are local photos from our parks. So just a wonderful brochure, and I want to thank you for allowing us to get this done. So these things have been flying off the racks.
I bet. They're very nice. Yeah. Who was part of your planning committee that worked to put this together? They really should be commended. This is
our outreach coordinator, Tiffany Cornelius, right. Worked with Huss Printing, and they just, the two of them did a really good job on putting that together.
Have to get an extra one later and frame it up so I can put it there outside my garage door when I have to go somewhere. I can look right on there. And
there you go.
Had it made. Keep one in the car, too.
Very nice.
Very nice. Thank you.
Speaking of our outreach coordinator, she's doing an amazing job also on social media. And right now we're just shy of 1,000 likes on our Facebook page. So she's keeping that very active, and it's just been an incredible tool for us to get out notices about programs or notices about different things. Might be sightings, it might be important events or various things. It's just been an excellent tool for us. Administratively, looking forward, we are in the process of putting together a legislator's reception for November. We don't have a solid date yet. Tentatively, we're looking at November 8th. And that would be an event that that we would host, and we would invite all of our legislators. So state, federal, cities, really kind of give an overview on Story County conservation and some of the issues that we face. So you'll be hearing more about that as we move forward with it.
Outstanding.
As far as our environmental education program, you know that this summers are their busy time. So they roll right out of field trips in the spring toward the end of the school year, and then right into nature camps. And so we've been really busy with that. All of the field trips this spring were very well received. And we did several of those programs. We also had more classes this year that enrolled in our what we call our service learning program. In that, we marry curriculum work or classwork teaching with outdoor service. And so we had some of those groups come out then, some of those classes come out and do some service projects for us this year. That went really well. Nature camps were, for the large part, full and overflowing. We had more requests than we had ability to get them into camps.
Then we also have a series of camps we called Float Camps, fun-loving outdoor adventure team. And it ranges. We have different camps for different age groups. And those, all but one of those, we had five different float camps, all but one of those filled up. And I think the one that didn't fill was only one person away from not filling. So very popular, very heavily sought after. The most advanced one, we took a group of 10 high school students on a backpacking trip to Rocky Mountain National Park. And that, of course, that camp filled up and was a huge success. Huge success. We also did a couple new public programs this summer. One was a full moon canoe, a full moon paddle on Hickory Grove. It was, again, very well received. People loved that. It was just beautiful weather, and we had, I think it was about 30 people that participated in that, so wonderful, wonderful turnout for it. The other thing we did at Hickory also, and that was a Go Fish event. It coincided with the state's Kids Free Fishing Weekend. We called it Go Fish. And we had about 50 participants in that, and it was just super. One of the highlights was minnow races, and so Ted Tedesco was there helping us with minnow races along with one of our rangers, and I tell you what, the kids love that. I think the adults got just about as much kick out of it as the kids did when you use squirt bottles and try to push your minnow from one end of a gutter down to the other end.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, how does that go?
That was a lot of fun. That was real well received. And then I guess the last thing on the education front is, you know, a couple years ago, about a year ago maybe, we started an on-sell. It was called an on-sell program. It's a self-guided, essentially interpretive program. Where we put signs up at different, we might put a sign up at a different area that has something we want to interpret, a message we want to get out, or some kind of message we want to interpret. We did 10 of those this summer, and so the person that maybe at that site sees a sign and it says, hey, this is an on-sale site, dial this phone number, and then you get this message. So we've used them in a few different spots throughout the summer. One, to really just be a means of communicating something that's happening in the park. Other might be to talk about wildflowers or whatever it may be. So those are going really well. And we've got, let's see, we've got probably about close to 300 calls into that now this summer. And we can get statistics on all this, from about 81 unique callers. So that tells you a lot of people are, you know, going to different parks and calling back, because this system will keep track of the phone numbers that call in, so we know who's calling. So that's been well received as well. Then as far as I guess our special projects, you know, we did the Spring Partners Festival. We had about a couple hundred people there, a little lower turnout than normal. We really weren't sure if we were going to be able to have it due to the weather, but we moved forward and had a decent turnout, but has been better. We got a lot of organizations come out and help us with that. DNR helped. ISU was there as well. With their stormwater special, or I should say the city of Ames had a stormwater specialist there. And every event, try to look for different partners that can come and talk specifically about different issues or different conservation practices, etc. So this spring it was the DNR with their wildlife diversity program, city of Ames, as I mentioned, and a business in town called Wild Birds Unlimited came out and did some programs for us. So we're also, as far as trail work, We have partnered with the Heartland RC&D, which is one of the few surviving RC&Ds in the county, or in the county, in the state, to put a grant application in for improved trail signage on the heart of Iowa. The Heartland RC&D is doing this. This grant will be for all Central Iowa trails. There's a Central Iowa Trails Network, and so it's Polk County, it's Dallas County, Warren County, Jasper County, and then us, and Boone County. So we're part of this grant application, and we worked with tried to get the cities involved on the Heart of Iowa Trail to partner with that grant application as well. So Huxley moved forward and Slater moved forward with that. So, again, I guess speaking of the Heart of Iowa Trail, we also applied for a state recreational trail grant to pave the Heart of Iowa between Huxley and Cambridge. We applied for that a couple years ago. We did not get it, or I should say last year we applied. We did not get it. Their evaluation formula has changed, and we thought we had a pretty good chance this year. So we did move forward with that application. The match for that funding will come from the communities. So they have told us that they will come up with the match for that. It's about a $1 million project, and the match is give or take $240,000. And again, speaking of trails, it's a trail busy summer. We have been approached by a mountain bike organization to construct a single track trail or a mountain bike trail along the Skunk River Greenbelt. So the Trails Committee has reviewed that. We've spent some time on the ground with this group reviewing this, and so that's in the process. We haven't come to a decision on that yet. I won't spend a lot of time with Dakins. I think everyone's familiar with Dakins, but you know the process that's been going through. As far as looking forward with Dakins, though, assuming we have an awardable bid, we will get going with that ASAP. I think all the contractors want to get on the ground right away. And I've had several questions from the community in regard to A, overall timing, but B, specifically also about the fish stocking in the new lake. And what I've said is that we really, if a contractor gets on site and weather cooperates to a T, it might be possible to stock it this fall. That's blue sky thinking. Realistically, there's probably not a good chance of that. Realistically, we'll probably stock it next spring.
Okay, so blue sky this fall. How many days of dirt work do we have before we can actually start filling it up?
That's a good question.
And I'm not expecting answers to these. How many days of dirt work do we have before we can actually start filling it up? Because in my mind, I was thinking, you know, spring would be the soonest. And then the second thing is, once we get it ready to start filling up, I think it's going to be dependent at least somewhat on the weather as to how long it takes to get any water in the thing.
Absolutely. I say blue sky, more like gray sky.
Okay.
If we're going to get it done, we need rain.
Well, and you know, I think it's completely understandable the apprehension that some in Zeering and around this project are feeling right now. I mean, it hasn't gone exactly like we thought it was going to go to get here. And what I keep telling them is this board has never been more committed. You know, our commitment to this has never wavered. I think your board, Conservation Board, has never wavered on their commitment. And we're just trying to find a way to get it done within the budgetary constraints we have. And yet things may be pushed back a little bit. I just want to give them
I want two things. I want to give them realistic timelines, and I want to start moving dirt as fast as we possibly can, simply because everybody's going to breathe a little easier once they actually see something happening.
Right. So, as you're aware as well, that the community has established a fund to do the fish stocking, and so they're, you know, rightly so curious about when that will be done.
And I think they've got several thousand dollars in that fund already.
Yeah, last I knew they had over 3,000
in
it.
And I think once activity actually starts out there, I think there'll be another bump.
Right. So realistically, you're right. We're probably looking at a spring stocking, assuming we get some favorable moisture.
But we are talking about actually stocking with some more mature fish so that when we're ready to open the park, there's actually the opportunity to get in there and fish a little.
Correct. What we've done with this partnership with stocking with both private and public hatcheries is we've taken off about 2 years of the time that it takes from stocking to get fishable, to get a fishable population or a catchable population. Typically if it's just DNR stocking, you know, you're probably looking at 4 to 5 years to get fish this keepable size. And with this, the plan that we have, we're looking at about 2 years.
Good.
So also mark your calendars. October 5th is the fall Partners Festival. I won't really talk about IRVM. I know Mr. Quaker was here not long ago. So as far as our field operations go, once we got past the flooding this spring and got parks open, staff have been pretty busy with some special projects. They have done more work on the Touch of Life Trail, if you're familiar with that, the trail around McFarland Lake, and it's a concrete trail. It's not 100% completed yet. We've just this spring added, just lately, within the last couple weeks, we've probably added about another 100 yards of concrete to it. So we're getting there. Should be able to complete this. If not this fall, next spring, then we'll have a completed trail around the lake. We also, this year and this summer, you may have noticed, if you've driven the roads by the Skunk River, you may have noticed some new signage.
Yes.
We worked with the DNR to get some signage for all of our water access points, so as part of the state water trails program. So you'll see new symbols, signs with a canoe, with a paddler there, and maybe an access number and an arrow to the access point. Those are all along roads next to the Skunk River. So you'll see those. Those have been nice. We also have been working a couple years on doing some interpretive kiosks at those access points, and we did get 5 of those installed this summer as well. Beautiful signs, beautiful kiosks, and the state is going to use those as templates now for their water trails program. So we've set the standard. In regard to that as well, we have a new, you're probably familiar with the new bridge over the Skunk River on 180th Street there that was done a couple years ago. With that realignment of the bridge, we put a new access river access point there, where the old bridge was. So the road got straightened, and where the previous alignment, then we have that right of way, and we put an access point there. And so we just finished creating the parking lot about a week or 2 weeks ago, and so that's nice, and that's one of those points, one of the access points that we have a new kiosk at as well, and that is being used heavily. Lots of people are using that. The old access point was in Peterson Park, was hard to maintain because of the location on the river. And this one is a much easier to maintain location, and it's very visible. It's one of the things we always like in regard to preventing vandalism. Right. It's very visible. We've planted some trees there, but it's got good access, and and hopefully we don't have a lot of vandalism problems there. We also worked with an ISU group, architecture group, to install a new picnic shelter at Peterson. So if you have an opportunity to go by there, go to West Peterson and take a look on the east bank of it, you'll see a nice new picnic shelter. ISU, like I said, architecture group came out and built that for us. They put all the money into the materials. We did the concrete work for it, but all the rest was theirs. So we appreciate that kind of support. That'll be a nice addition to the park. We also installed beach ropes at Peterson, as we expected when we went into this, we did not have a designated swimming area there other than by signage. And the beach is, the sand itself. But now we've put ropes back there, and have had some mixed reviews, as we expect as we move forward into this. As a whole, though, I think the park is much better off, and we have a much safer swimming opportunity for people. And I guess lastly, one thing I want to point out, every year we look at our volunteer hours, and for the last several years, we've got about 2,000 hours annually that people contribute to us. In FY13, we had 6,300, almost 6,400 hours of volunteer support.
Wow. How did it triple?
That's three
full-time
FTEs.
Positions. Yeah.
That's incredible. Our volunteer program is just doing really well.
What do you attribute the huge increase to?
Part of that is just contact.
Outreach.
Well, you mentioned earlier that your outreach.
Various groups out there.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, the Facebook, and I think it's that personal interaction.
Oh.
And have a person on staff that's just doing a tremendous job with that. And it shows. All of our parks are adopted now. We have an adopt-a-park program. Every one of them has volunteers, has an adopted, an adoptee, if you will. And so that's just testament to that. But yeah, three FTEs in volunteer.
Mm. Yeah.
Amazing number.
I have two, Mike. One thing that I would encourage you to put on the list for you guys to take a really hard look at here in the next year is working with City of Zeering to finish off the Prairie Rail Trail from 65 there on into Zeering, and as I see it, kind of hooking around up to tie Dakin's Lake into that trail. I think now is the time for us to have that conversation. I think the people of Zeering would be receptive to that conversation, and we've been trying to get Dakin's Lake going. I think concurrently we need to see what we need to do to get this finished off. So I'd encourage you to put that on your list. And I know it has been on your list.
Yep.
Just
continue to have it there. And the second one, I wanted to update these two about a conversation that you and I have, and then I've had with a couple people associated with Iowa State, and that is Iowa State and the city of Ames now are starting to push the research park expansion really, really hard. Just in a nutshell, they're talking about taking the existing research park and expanding it more to the south. Iowa State really wants to turn that into a premier national caliber research park. Part of the build-out that they're talking about is going to include a lot of green space, natural areas, in my mind, conservation type of areas. And so I floated the idea, mentioned it to Mike, and that's all the further that it's gone. But I floated the idea of we want our conservation in Iowa State to form a closer relationship or to continue to build the relationship that they have. And I thought that might be a great opportunity for Story County Conservation to participate in some of these things that they're talking about doing with the research park, up to and including the concept of management of these green spaces. Like I say, it's at the it's not even a conversation yet. It's prior to being a conversation, but it's been floated a couple times. I've mentioned it to Mike. I would think yet this fall it will turn into a conversation that we'll have. And so I hadn't talked to these guys about it yet. I just wanted to update them if you had anything to add to that.
No, I think that's a good synopsis. Yeah, I looked at it briefly, looked at that their expansion area briefly, and yeah, there's some potential there, but just like with any other partnership, there's going to be some things that will have to be addressed.
Sure.
Make it worthwhile for us.
And like I say, it's not even a conversation yet. It's just I'd like it to turn into a conversation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, initially a year ago when I was invited to sit in through with the group that was proposing the plan, and it was part of their visioning and looking at what amenities they'd like to have, that discussion came into play at that time. And the hope was at that time is that there may be an opportunity for outreach and partnership with the county, particularly in that, as you're mentioning. So they've certainly been talking about that for the last couple of years, and I was made aware of it over a year ago, and I think we're on the right track to begin to have that dialogue.
Good. Questions for Mike?
How'd the goats do this summer?
How'd the what?
Goats.
Goats. Good. They're still at it. No, they're doing good. And you remember we were approached by the company, a startup company if you will, maintaining goats and offering to pasture goats for prescribed grazing at different locations. So they started the summer out with some goats at McFarland, and then they got a lot of press, and so they've taken the goats away. Because they've got paying customers, which is good. You know, I expect that they might come back for a few days this fall, so we might have some more goats at McFarland. But the goats at Robinson, no, they're doing good. It's amazing what such a simple thing we can accomplish with it.
And I didn't know they eat poison ivy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, oh yeah,
everything.
All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Good. Thank you, Mike. Good. Okay.
No other reports. Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. Board may not take any action on your comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to speak to us? Arden, you got anything? All right.
Okay.
Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates. Wayne, anything?
Yes, very quickly. Yesterday I met with Deb Shoroth, our CPC, and the gist of the conversation primarily was to help update me on where we were with the state over the equalization payment and the disputed billing and that we have submitted to them. And she feels that she did receive acknowledgement that they had received the information and would be going through the review process. Obviously, once this has been completed, then we would expect to see the payment release to us. that also would be a welcome relief to the region as well. So she just kind of gave me kind of a breakdown of a couple of the areas where some of the disputed building occurred, and I think she had mentioned it to us a little bit earlier. And then we talked also about a proposal that will probably be coming to us at some time soon, and that's it's being discussed within the regional group. But prior to us forming into the region, there was a 28E agreement by the other member counties, which was dealing with an intensive psych rehab program. And now they would like to add Story County, Jasper, and Warren County, hopefully, to that. And Ron will be probably coming to us at a later date. What had happened was this has been something that had been talked about for some time, and the question I asked is, why had we not had this in the past? And the answer to that was no, but the regional group, when they formed it, they automatically assumed that we had this intensive psych offering. So this is going to be something that will be presented to us at a later date. There is a cost associated with that, but I just wanted you to be alerted to that conversation. And then she just mentioned a little bit, and Paul is probably more familiar with this, that the Central Iowa Juvenile Detention will be serving as the employee of record for one of the, I forgot what you called it, groups, but it's all part of the CLP service provider. And then I told her that she should probably visit with Paul a little bit, because this will be something probably talked about. And we know that they are, even though they are a juvenile detention area, they are also doing fiscal agent contracts for DHS and other programs. And so I think it was more of an FY type of thing. And then we also talked about the regionalization meeting starting that we'll have here next Monday. By the way, Board, we didn't budget for this, but I think refreshments are, we're expected to have at least coffee and some water or something for the regional group. And so I told Deb that I thought we could find a way to have that. I hadn't talked to Alyssa yet, so just be aware of that. And then just an update on the discussion I had with the City of Ames, Hinderocker, regarding fleet management and her perception of that. And she was feeling very comfortable about the information we had received. And the latest is that the rates will be reduced to the rate that CLP was being charged, or community service was being charged, which was less than what CLP was being charged. So I think overall it was an excellent opportunity for us to understand it. And it, the service, we have no complaints about. So I really think it's very good.
It's about, as I recall the numbers, it's about $25 per month per car.
Right.
That now you're talking about saving. That's
right.
Outstanding.
Right. So then that was about it. Okay. And
good. All right. Thanks, Paul. Anything? And announcements. Wayne, any announcements?
Just that this Thursday and Friday, the Iowa Association of Counties will kick off its legislative policy review. This will be the briefings where all the affiliates will present their legislative proposals to us. Then we'll meet in September to see if there's any changes. And then ultimately in November, the final results will go before the Iowa Association of Counties to vote for our 2014 legislative policies. So I will be in meetings both days, Thursday and most of all day on Friday.
Outstanding. Any announcements?
No.
None for me. That brings us to potential closed session. Civil Attorney Jessica Reynolds.
Good morning, Board. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, Sub 1, Sub C, the County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the Board go into closed session to discuss strategy with legal counsel in matters that are presently in litigation, where its disclosure would be likely to prejudice or disadvantage the position of the county in that litigation.
I make a motion we move into closed session.
And I will second that.
We have a motion and a second to move into closed session. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We will take a 5-minute recess and then reconvene in closed session per the recommendation of the county attorney. We stand in recess.
You good?
Yeah, absolutely. You just let me know when you think you're ready. Good? All right. We will reconvene now in open session. Coming out of closed session, Civil Attorney Reynolds, I'll turn to you to get us back into open session appropriately.
Okay, I think you'll note the time.
Okay.
My pleasure. It is 12:04 in the afternoon, and we are reconvened in open session, and it is the time and place for the Board to take action regarding the settlement that was discussed in closed session.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Respectfully, with all appreciation to you guys' good work, we reject the settlement. ICAP, we appreciate everything you've done. If you would just make sure that everything is communicated with HR and county attorney on where we stand in this matter. Hugh and Brent, go get them.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Is there anything further as we're in open session? Are we in a second closed session today?
Yes, we are.
Would you make that recommendation?
Yeah. Let me run to the restroom. Thank you.
Who's buying my lunch today? It's not you.
Oh, yeah.
Board chair.
Thank you both.
Bet, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Sorry for causing you any grief.
Right.
Thanks for everything.
Thank you. Very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
They're all great. Jessica, you want to go ahead? And,
I need a motion to go back into closed session.
Yep. That's, well, first of all, we're going to let Jessica tell us what we're doing here.
That we're going to have to break for a little bit while I change tapes.
Fine. We're still at open session, Jessica, so if you could make
and
your recommendation.
Ready? Okay.
Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, Sub 1, Sub C, the County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the Board enter into a closed session to discuss strategy with legal counsel in matters that are either presently in litigation or where litigation is imminent, where its disclosure would be likely to prejudice or disadvantage the position of the county in said litigation.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it. Further discussion? Toot?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Clinton abstains. We will be in recess until such time as we're prepared with our technology to go into closed session. We stand in recess.
I'll be back in just a minute.
Okay. I will call us back to order in open session and ask that Civil Attorney Reynolds get the record set for open session.
We have convened in open session at 12:29 in the afternoon. This is the time, date, and place for the Board to take action regarding the Politico open records request.
I would move that we comply with the open records request, and I don't know if we need to set the date. Monday, do you want to put a time on it?
Yeah. I think in part of the record, I'd like to see the date, the time.
9 o'clock Monday morning?
That would be fine.
Time.
All right, we have a motion to comply with the open records request with a date certain of Monday, August 19th at 9 a.m.
Second motion.
We have a second to the motion. Any further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We will comply with the motion unless there's some interim action between now and the 19th compelling the county attorney's office to deem that those are not subject to the public.
If so, we'll inform you.
Okay. We'll inform. Any other business for the Board of Supervisors today?
Move adjournment.
Have a second. Motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. We're adjourned. Lucy, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go get it done.